So we are always happy that you're all here, but I would like to say that Cece is here this morning, and her son Michael. And we're very happy that you could be here this morning. Mike, thanks for being here and bringing her. How long has it been?
7 months.
Well, we're very, very happy you're here. So glad to see you. Doug and Jeannie, so Montana, you doing okay in Montana?
We haven't been there in February.
Wait, so far. Okay, and your house is finished?
House is finished.
Okay, if you need a house, they have a nice house up on Sly Park Road, and that would be a blessing. Yeah, very happy you're here. I will tell you, too, that yesterday we had a memorial service for Jerry Nelson. Did I already say that? Jerry was the, and his wife, Gladys, were the caretakers at Camp Forward for the better part of 20 years. And Jerry passed away, and yesterday we had his memorial service at Camp Forward. Mitch McAfee did a beautiful job, and it was a great time of just looking back on Jerry's life and how he had impacted people. You know, Jerry and Gladys were there all the years my kids were going to camp. And so they impacted my children, and my kids know them. Many of your kids went to Camp Forward and knew Jerry and Gladys. And thank you, God, for faithful people along the way. Well, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 again, and I would like for you to turn there in your Bible. Colossians chapter 3. The title of this simple message is called Put On Love. In the passage, the verse actually says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Okay, so we've all heard the word love, and we know there are different definitions for the word love. In the passage, the paragraph says this, therefore, as the elect of God, and we are, if you've chosen Christ as your Savior, you've been saved, you are called the elect of God, the ones that God has chosen. It says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And then he gives a list of things to put on, a list of things that are the fruit of the indwelling Holy Spirit in your life, things that are going to be evident in your life as you have followed Christ. And you know, I would say to all of us, let's take a look and see if these are the kind of things we see in our life. Maybe they're the things that are developing. Here's the list. Put on tender mercies. That means to be tender toward others and to express mercy toward others who are in need. A lot more definition there. Put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do or forgive. But above all these things, here's the verse, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, you know, it's interesting. People will say, yeah, I love them. What's the next word? How do we know that so well? I love them, but... You know, in God's economy, and this is a hard one, there's no but. I love them. And so you express tender mercies and forgiveness. Hold no record of wrongs. Let me tell you, if we're in Christ, aren't we in Christ? So then, we were just talking in our Bible study this morning about the word consecration. You know what happens when they consecrated a lamb for sacrifice? They took the lamb from the herd, and they placed the lamb on the altar. And you know, the will of the lamb was not considered. That lamb was consecrated for the sacrifice. And so then the sacrificial lamb would be slain and the blood would be shed. What happened to Jesus? Jesus did the will of who? The will of God the Father. And Jesus went to the cross. He was the lamb that was placed on the altar. And he said, before he went to the altar, he said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And in Romans chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, my brothers, help me. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto him." And so we are called as Christians, to surrender to a consecrated relationship with the Lord. And to say in real simple terms, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." And I think that it is very easy to wake up in the morning and think of 100 things that we ought to do. 100 things the way that my life ought to go today. And what is God really wanting from us? For us to open our eyes and say what? Lord. Amen. And to say, "Lord, here I am. I am laying my life down as a willing sacrifice to you." I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to live and practice what it means. This verse says, "But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." The second slide, we are called upon by Jesus to love one another without any buts. He's saying, "Will you surrender my will to do as I am asking you to do?" So I kind of broke this down. It says, above all these things. And in this passage, what it means, it's referring to the virtues that have gone before. So the verses before says, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility. And all of those things are incredible virtues that are fruits of the Spirit in the Christian's life. But he says, above all these things, put on love. Now, Jesus comments on that, and Paul later comments on that too. And Paul later says in Galatians that all of the law is wrapped up in one thing, and that is that we love one another. We love one another, and we serve others, like Joy said earlier. So above all these things, above all these virtues, put on love. And I just wrote Christ-type love, forgiving and selfless love. Can you see why this is a hard message? How can we love people like that? Say it again, Vivian. We receive his love. It so transforms our lives that we then begin to love like he loves. I'm still learning to surrender, learning to put my life on the altar like Romans 12 says that I should. It says that this kind of love is the bond of perfection. It is this bond of love between believers for unity. And the perfection means to be complete for God's uses. So this bond of perfection. So Paul in Colossians is talking about what it means to know Christ and then what it means once you're in Christ to live for him with our lives. And there is this total consecration, this total surrender that he is saying in Christ, this is the fruit that should come out of your life. There's a lot at stake. God has chosen for the church to be the reflection of him on the earth. And as we learn to love not only in the body, and if you go back to those virtue words and it says tender mercies, why in the world would you have to have tender mercy towards somebody? Because they're in a state of what? Concern or trouble of some kind. Why would you have to exercise kindness? Kindness is easy when the people are kind. But kindness is harder when the other people are not so kind. You know? It does set an example. It says humility, meekness, all of these words. And these words, when we learn to love each other, the supernatural reflection of that is just going to bear the reflection of Christ. People are going to see it. People are going to see the difference that Christ has made, and people are going to respond to the testimony of God's people. So, you remember how love is defined. I love this. You probably have it memorized. How is love defined? And I know that I talked about marriage a few months ago, and we were talking about this idea of love, how easy it is to say, I love you. But how easy is it for you to say, I'm patient with you. I am kind to you. I hold no record of wrongs. I will bear no false witness. All these words, love suffers long and is kind. So when we say, I love you, and it's usually to a spouse, you know, maybe to a brother, a Christian brother, Christian sister. These are the qualities that the agape of God reflect. This kind of a message that I am sharing right now should be very personal for you. It's very personal for me. It's easy to be kind and to do those kind of things when everything's going great, when you're feeling cared for, you know, but there's no but in these lines. Love is patient. Lord, help us. Love is kind. There's no exception clause. You don't have to be kind if the person's really rude. You don't have to be kind if they didn't actually hit your fender when they cut you off. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. So my simple prayer at this point is, Lord, help me understand your love, because this is the way he loves me. And Lord, help me to then reflect that love to my brothers and sisters in my life. I can tell you, I need a lot of help. And the people that know me know I need a lot of help. But the Holy Spirit in us Christ in us can live through us. So we have a tendency to think, oh, I'm good. I'm smart. I'm right. Look at this passage of Scripture. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, can you imagine if a person in the body of Christ had this ability? Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, I could. It says, but if you don't have love, what's it worth? Nothing. So you could be extremely talented, extremely gifted, extremely smart, extremely intelligent, extremely capable. But it says, you know, if you have all that before God, he says it's worth what? It's nothing. It says, if I have not love, I become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and even if I have all faith, and we look at people like this in the church, and there are qualities to be admired, right? But you've got to have the love that Christ gave to you reflected in these, in your spirit, in your life, in your actions. It should be. It should be.
So you say, I'm going to be there.
Yep.
And if not, then what you do is you let them know that's a gift of kindness, which that's a gift of love.
Good. Working through things. It says further in this, it says, if I had the faith to remove mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body even to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. God says it profits nothing. If your life is not loving, it's worthless. And loving with the definitions that Paul gives. Love is patient and love is kind. Now, our gifts and strengths, our strengths and gifts were given for us for the edification of the whole body, not to puff us up. So, people who are very, and all of us are gifted, and those gifts are given to build up the body, to make the body strong, for the body of Christ to be used for his glory and honor. And so you have these different parts of the body, these different spiritual gifts that are given, and different personalities you have, and it is for us to work as a whole. Not that we as individuals are puffed up and say, oh, look at my gift. I am really quite the gifted one. God says, no, you're a necessary part of the body. You're to be used to edify the whole body when you use your gift. So our strengths and our gifts were given for the edification of the whole, not to puff us up. So we need to realize that we are a body that is in progress, right? I'm in progress. Way back in the old days, Bill Gothard used to say, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. We live in a saved community who are still a work in progress. Ephesians 4:13 says, he has talked about all of these gifts that were given to the body, and then he says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect or complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So till we come to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ, till we are reflecting Christ to our world as a body, as a corporate group of believers. And so we're in this process, but we are in process till we come. 14, that we should no longer be children, and I put in the word susceptible, children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but rather speaking the truth individually and corporately, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head. And I just think that that word grow up is really important that Paul said that. That we would become mature. And guess what? If you have to grow up, what's that tell us about ourselves now? We're not grown up. We're still growing up in Christ. We're still understanding our relationship with Christ. We're still submitting to Christ. We're still listening to the Holy Spirit along the way. That we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, from whom the whole body, and that's talking about us as the body of Christ, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. In itself, we're talking about us, the called out ones, the church, and he says, the edifying of itself in love. I've been a pastor for a while, been at Pioneer Bible Church for a while. I still think I'm growing up as a pastor, growing up as a servant. I think we're growing up as a church. I am faced with challenges all the time in my own life and in our church life. But our goal, my goal for me and for us, is that we reflect Christ in the brightest way we can, that we are effective for Christ in the most effective way that we can be as a team. And so this is a call to all of us to step up, to say, God, I am yours. I lay myself on the altar. I consecrate myself so that I can be used for your will to reflect the Christ to the world, for God's plan to unfold in this little place of Somerset and River Pines and Sandridge Road and Grizzly Flats and the place that God has placed us. We need to practice loving each other in all our difficulties. You know, we respond in tender mercies toward each other. We be kind to all, even to the hard people. Some people in your life hard?
Yes.
Yeah. Some people are hard. You know, I'm convicted as I speak these words. I'm convicted as I read these scriptures. Because it's not only think kind, but it's be kind. There's some people that I need to talk to, that I need to reestablish with. Because it impacts the body if I don't. You may have opinions, and they may be good ones. But you don't have to agree with everybody, and everybody doesn't have to agree with you. We're in Christ. We're learning to work and function as the body. We need to practice loving each other in all difficulties, acting and thinking in humility before God, and in our interactions with other people, having a meek, loving, patient, and godly reaction towards circumstances, being long-suffering and patient with one another in trials and misunderstandings. By the way, misunderstandings, there's a lot of those. We either say too much or we don't say enough. And that leaves us in misunderstandings, you know. And I have to back up when it's me, and I have to give the time and take the time so that I can be understood between me and that other person. Bearing with one another in times of trial and frustration, differences of opinion, and trouble. So there are many times when I do something wrong or incomplete as a pastor, and some of you are very faithful to come up to me and remind me that I've done it incomplete or not done it right. And my goal is to value you and value your person, value your perspective. I think, and I'm working on that, but that's all of our responsibility. And then choose to forgive. These loving responses show that we truly belong to Christ. Put on love, Christ's love, agape love. Again, this idea that we live in a saved community who are still a work in progress. Look at these words from Galatians 5. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." Okay? So there's an opportunity. We could be selfish and serve ourselves, but Paul says, "But through love, serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." See, we know that if we are genuinely loving our neighbor, we're not going to sin against our neighbor. We're not going to covet their stuff, and we're not going to bear a false witness against our neighbor, and we're not going to do this or that. If we're really loving our neighbor like God loves us, then we're going to be trying to serve our neighbor, care about our neighbor. By the way, how is all of this even possible? That's it. Only the fact that we are in Christ and the Holy Spirit indwells us can this kind of fruit be coming out of our lives. That's the only way. You know, there's a lot of people in the world trying to be good, just trying and trying and trying to be good. And without Christ, you can't be good. You can't be. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Look at this, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, that's an image, beware lest you be consumed by one another. See, now at this point you think, well, there are times where I am severely upset with other people. Right? Yeah. And there are times where you are very disappointed in their actions. So there are times where you are very discouraged by the way things are unfolding. It's not because the other person deserves it. It's because Christ is in us and he is calling us up to a spirit-filled, Christ-filled life. Do you have reason to be angry at your brother or sister? Probably. Probably. So what does the Lord want us to do? Call unto the Lord. Call to the Lord, seek him in prayer, ask him for help, have other people be praying for you. The issue is, how are we reflecting Christ? There's so much more to all of this stuff. So these are questions kind of that we just talked about. Are you a believer, elect, chosen, saved? Are you? Okay. Who do you disdain? Who do you have a complaint against? This is not a very fun list right here. Who irritates you? Who do you disagree with? Who do you have trouble being kind to? Who do you have trouble being patient with or not remembering all their wrongs? Who do you have trouble forgiving? So the question is, whose responsibility is it to love the difficult person? It's mine. It's my responsibility. And you can't make me do it. I can't make you do it. But we are called to it. How does that look? So back to our scripture. Take a look at this again. See, just kind of put it in context here. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Put these things on. You know, it's interesting. When it came to above all things, put on love, I realized when I was looking at the interlinear of that scripture, where they take it from the original language of Greek or Hebrew and they put it into English words, what it says is, it says above all else, and then it says put on. That's an assumed put on. What it says is, above all else, love. So it's not even like the put on is to help us understand what we're to do with that. You know, above all else, just love. Like Jesus. Just love. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Above all these things, love. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. And let me just say that as we learn to love like this, there will be peace. Because if we're loving like this, then we don't have anything between us to stir up strife. If we are saying, God, help me to see that person like you see them. Help me to love that person like you love them. There is going to be peace, because I'm not going to be at odds with you. There's going to be peace, rest, joy.
So I know for me, I was told by a wise person, when I'm disturbed, which is in a personal relationship, I'm disturbed. I'm either angry with you or mad or whatever, something's not right. I only have two choices. I either need to forgive the person I'm disturbed with, or I need to tell them I'm sorry. And that's it. There's nothing in between for me for either. I'm either needing to make amends or I'm either needing to provide forgiveness.
Very helpful. Very helpful. Yeah. And that works in all areas. How God's been kind to you, how God's been long-suffering with you, how God's not held your record against you, you know, all those different things. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So where do we need these virtues? Where do we need to be living this stuff out, especially the love? Yep, and you just said everywhere, that's right. In Christ Church, the body of Christ, amongst our family here at PBC, in the Christian family, in your own family where you are a Christian, and I wanted to say it that way because you may be the only Christian in your family. And we're still responsible to love and be kind, to be Christ-like, even if we're the only believer in our family. In our lives as we live amongst the world. We can't just be one way at church and then another way when we're on the job. In the church at large, and I put capital T for the, in the church at large, the body of Christ way outside Pioneer Bible Church. And then amongst the spiritual realms as they observe our lives. You know, the Bible says that the heaven, the hosts of heaven are watching as we live our faith in Christ. And so it's in front of them as well. And why do we need to live these virtues, especially love? Because we're in Christ. We're completely saved from sin and consequence. Like Mark said, you know, how much God has forgiven me. Because we've been raised with Christ. That whole list of things. Great stuff that's in the scriptures. Because we surrender to his lordship. We're to do all in the name of the Lord representing him. We're filled with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A lot of amazing things. Why do we need to live these virtues? So Colossians chapter 3, the first couple of verses say this: if or since you were raised with Christ, and you have been if you're saved, we've said that many times, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, right? When we gave our life to Christ, we died. And we were raised to life. That's what we're going to be celebrating in baptism today. That we were died to self and risen with Christ. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. And I just want to tell you that those words right there say, you have an incredible hope. When our dear brother, Buddy Sadler, took his last breath, he was living hope. He was living in the presence of hope. Last words there, it says, when we died, when we came to Christ, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then there's this hope phrase, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. That's good news. There's another verse, a passage of scripture that kind of reveals the same truth. In 2 Peter 1, it says, for this reason, this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And I just said, believers, we want to be fruitful, don't we? Individually fruitful and as a church. Sorry. So we're going to skip the next passage. Thank you for the water. And I just want to kind of leave us with this. Jesus said, he said these words, I say to you, so Jesus is talking. He says, I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then 35, let's just read 35 together. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have done a miraculous work. You are God, creator, sustainer, savior, and you have drawn us, and we have accepted Christ, if indeed you who are hearing my voice have accepted Christ, believed in him. You said when you left, you would give us a comforter who would be with us, the Holy Spirit. Lord God, thank you for saving us. And thank you that it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are the one that is living through us. Father, we thank you. We want to be the most effective, the most reflective of Christ that we can be as a church and individuals. Lord, I want to thank you for those who are going to be baptized today. Lord, I think sometimes there's a little anxiety, but I pray, Lord, that you would just make this a precious time as each of these comes forward, shares a brief testimony, and then, Lord, obeys you in being baptized. Father, I pray that you would bless our time. I also pray for safety, Lord, regarding the water, especially with our children. Lord, that you would help us all to be careful to watch and help one another. And Father, I also pray that you would give us just a sweet time of fellowship as the body of Christ. Lord, we're going to sing a song of praise and worship to you. And as we do, I would just invite each person here to say, Lord, I surrender my will. I want to live your will. I want to express the love of Christ to those in my family, those in my church. God, I thank you that you're at work in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. The love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. So beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Anybody know what verse that comes from?
Amen. Just a simple reminder, as Glenn told us, the Pregnancy Counseling Services has those tickets on sale for the banquet. It's a fundraising banquet. It's not meant to be inexpensive. It's meant to raise money for the ministry. It will be a precious night of testimony and pictures and so on. And just encourage you to think about purchasing those tickets. And secondly, I would just like to leave us, sometimes it's just really difficult to think how we might heal a relationship between another person, this love thing that God's asking of us. And I just want you to know we'll pray with you. You can say the situation, you don't have to, but there'll be a few of us here who would just like to pray with you if you have a situation that you'd just like some support with, some encouragement. All right? So God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Hope to see you somewhere between 2 and 5. God bless you.